Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday. Oh, so many good stories. Live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. A lot to talk about today. Such a glorious day. The weather is really nice now. Things are good, mostly in America. Joy, how are you? We're getting more vaccinations in America.
I'm great. I feel like LA is finally stabilizing. Things are opening.
Very
Anyone
nice.
Anyone can go get a vaccine.
So I had an epiphany yesterday. I'm going to talk about it in 5 minutes.
Okay.
One of the things I like about our show is, and you and I are both very similar this way. Not only do we almost have the same birthdays, you have the same birthday as Ann, but we're both kind of like new information, new opinion, which is the way it should be.
Yeah, that's how everyone should operate.
You would think, right? I'm going to get to that in 5 minutes. I had an epiphany. But I want to start with this. According to Adam Schefter, he's a reporter for another network, very good. The Niners will take Mac Jones at 3. It will be Mac Jones, says the quote. They'll keep Garoppolo this year. It's Mac Jones. Okay. We think of the Niners as an ascending franchise and the Bears as a dying one. You draft Mac Jones, you may be the same franchise. This is the Bears drafting Mitch Trubisky. Look at the similarities. First of all, only the Bears in that draft loved Trubisky. They were the only team loved Trubisky. Only the Niners love Mac Jones. You don't hear another team interested. Trubisky was a one-year college starter. That's it. Always a problem. 1 year. You can't win the job as a sophomore if you're an NFL quarterback, a junior. Mac Jones, similarly, is a one-year starter. Couldn't beat out Tua. You seen Tua in Miami? Look like the face of the league? Number 3. Chicago already had a good draft pick. They were at 3. They gave away all sorts of picks to move up to 2. They didn't have to. Nobody else was in Trubisky. Their intel was bad. The Niners already had a great pick, 12. Did you really have to give up all those picks to get to 3? Mac Jones wasn't going 3. I'm not sure Mac Jones is going before 12. The other thing, in the Trubisky draft, there were other quarterbacks who were clearly more physically gifted, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. In this draft, Mac Jones is the least physically gifted quarterback. And in the case with Trubisky, and in the case with Mac Jones, my scouts, my sources, hated Trubisky, and they don't like Mac Jones. And I trust my guys. This is Trubisky with the Bears. The Bears surrendered 2 third picks and a fourth-round pick to move up one slot. They didn't need to. Nobody else wanted Trubisky. The 49ers gave up 2 first-rounders and a third to move up 9 spots. Who else loves Mac Jones? It feels desperate, and like the Bears, it feels arrogant. We know more than you do. We think of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan as ascending stars in this league. Yeah, 3 years ago, before they drafted Trubisky, that's what we thought of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Say it out loud. NFC West. Here's your quarterbacks. Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, who couldn't beat out Tua. Mac Jones, according to, look it up yourself, it's called Google. He has a B arm, maybe B plus, not exceptional. Because Stafford's got an exceptional arm. Russell Wilson does. Kyler Murray does. He doesn't. He would also be the least athletic quarterback in his division. He is called unathletic. Not semi-athletic, he is unathletic. And he has 1 year, really, of starting. I'll say it again. Ryan Pace, the GM of Chicago, and Matt Nagy 3-4 years ago, we viewed them as young. They looked like they're 22 years old. Young stars. They moved up to get Trubisky, didn't have to, passed on Mahomes, passed on Deshaun Watson, and today those guys are in trouble. You're going to pass on Justin Fields at number three for Mac Jones. Justin Fields was better in high school. He's better in college. He's a better athlete. He's got a better arm. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this league, we bailed on Belichick after one losing season. I mean, Nick Wright said it yesterday on Mac Jones on our show.
It just is almost incomprehensible to me that that is what San Francisco wants to do, that they are tired of a guy with a defined ceiling, somewhat physically limited in Jimmy Garoppolo. And so now they're going to move on to a guy who's physically limited with a somewhat defined ceiling in Mac Jones. It is shocking to me that this seems to be where it's going, but it will be one hell of a smokescreen, Colin, because they seem to have everyone but you and me convinced that that pick is as good as in.
Niners don't like Garoppolo. He's got a ceiling. Of all the quarterbacks here, who's got the ceiling? It's not Trey Lance. It's not Justin Fields. It's not Zach Wilson, who's doing, as TJ Hushmanzada told us a couple days ago, is doing like 360 slam dunks. It's not Trevor Lawrence. There's one quarterback in this draft where you say, but he's got a ceiling. Isn't that why you're frustrated with Jimmy Garoppolo? This feels so much like the Bears, Nagy, Ryan Pace, and Trubisky. And that was really Ryan Pace's call. I don't like it at all. All right, so I had an epiphany. And one thing, you know, I'm not a surgeon or a pilot. If I make a mistake, you know, nobody dies or anything, right? Like, so I've always said, new information, new opinion. In my career, I take it as a badge of honor that I change my opinion. And I've said it before. If your child was on an emergency room table with a doctor, and he said, I'm going to try something new here. There is a new procedure that saves lives with young kids. Would you tell the doctor, no, no, don't do that. But it works. It's new information. No. If a pilot came up to you and said, we're going to fly right into the lightning storm. Oh, we've got new radar. We're going to fly around it. Which would you choose? I'm always looking for new information. Always. Every day. That's why I make calls. That's why I sit home and have Corona lights and make calls to sources. I'm looking for new information. So yesterday I said, I don't know about drafting Kyle Pitts. If you're Dallas, don't you have like a bunch of defensive needs? You got a lot of offensive players. And then I drove home and I had an epiphany. I'm redoing my house right now. I bought a new house and almost every room has to be redone. And of course, you're looking at budgets and you know, what do I want to pay for? What do I not? You know, I'm not a bank here. Okay. So like, and then I thought to myself, wait a minute. My wife and I have argued about how much to put into the kitchen. And I thought to myself, A, if we get the kitchen right, everything else will be fine. Because that's where you spend most of your time. And number two is, my wife is great fixing up kitchens. Like, we've been together like 12 years. Like, that's what she does. We've done some homes. So she's great with kitchens. And if you get the kitchen right, everything else is fine. And I was thinking about Dallas. Take Kyle Pitts. Move up to get him. Why? Because Dallas has a feel for offense. Here's their last six first-round offensive picks. Ezekiel Elliott, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, CeeDee Lamb, and Dez Bryant. Hall of Famers in many cases. CeeDee Lamb's really good. 24 Pro Bowls. Like the Packers and offensive linemen and the Steelers and receivers. Cowboys have a feel like my wife with kitchens. They got a feel for offense. They're good with offense. Cowboys' last five first-round defensive picks. Leighton Vander Esch can't stay healthy. Taco Charlton bust. Maurice Claiborne bust. Mike Jenkins bust. Byron Jones' first 3 years struggled before they moved him to corner. They're not as good as defense. You got, by the way, Dallas has 10 picks. If you have to give up another one to move up and get Kyle Pitts, it's just like getting the kitchen right in my house. If you get Kyle Pitts right, by the way, he has no potential to bust. None. He's the only guy in the draft. He and Trevor Lawrence. Zero chance of busting. In a draft where 40% of the players, well, maybe 30% will bust. Another 10 to 15% will underachieve. He's the guarantee. He's the Chase Young, Ohio State, Washington. The Patrick Willis, Ole Miss Niners. There's always one or two guys like, yeah, that guy can't bust. Kyle Pitts can't bust. Can't bust. So you get a guy that can't bust. You have a history of doing offense right. And if you draft him, it'll make Dak better. It'll actually make Mike McCarthy better. It'll keep your average defense off the field. You can use the other 8 or 9 draft picks to figure out defense. And the truth is, the NFC East is so lousy, you may be able to win that division by just having a great offense and having holes everywhere else. The NFL is increasingly offensive. Tight ends are increasingly important. You got 9 other picks or 8 other picks or whatever it takes to fix the defense. But I'm thinking about my wife and I'm thinking, just spend the money on the kitchen. You get that right. If you go to a party at somebody's house and the kitchen is amazing, nobody talks about the closets in the media room. Nobody cares. Kitchen great, house great. My wife's good with kitchens. The Cowboys are good with offense. They get it. They know it. They feel it. It's the Packers' O-lines. It's the Steelers and receivers. Go get Kyle Pitts. Worry about the defense. Round 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Got a bunch of picks. Got 10. If you have to give up a pick to move up and go offense, you'll have 8 more picks. It's okay. You can change your opinion. It's really okay. I know the internet doesn't like that, but it's... it's really okay. Okay, coming up next. Finally, what's the one team I've said? I don't understand it. I don't understand what they're doing at quarterback. The Washington football team. Finally, a report out that makes sense with Ron Rivera and Washington.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial lawnmowers in America. HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. There's over 1,000 dealers nationwide. They know what they're doing. These are experts and pros. So I've said the one team in the NFL I can't figure out is Washington. You know, the Bears, Andy Dalton, limited market, that's not the move I would have made. But Washington makes no sense. I do think Andy Dalton is the best backup in the league. And as a part-time starter, he went 4-5 last year in Dallas. And if you count the Giants win, where Dak got hurt, he was actually 5-5 with no camp and a new playbook and a new staff. I can get Dalton as a really, like Bridgewater, a strong bridge one-year quarterback. You can sell their maturity to a locker room. Ryan Fitzpatrick in Washington makes no sense to me. How do you sell a guy who's on his 19th team in 17 years to a locker room that just made the playoffs? They all know who Ryan is. He's the big Lebowski of quarterbacks. It's a hard sell to players. So a story out today, Mike Lombardi, former Patriot executive, very tied in, went in his podcast and said, Washington, I believe, is going to unload a lot of picks and go get a quarterback, and that quarterback is going to be Trey Lance. Lombardi was quoted saying, I know they love Trey Lance. By the way, I think he's really good. Finally, this makes sense. Not a 38-year-old journeyman, who's kind of expensive for being a 38-year-old journeyman. Washington sits at the number 19 pick. You make the playoffs, you immediately get thrust down to that area. They want to get to 4. Right? 4 is where you want to get, unless you like Mac Jones. Washington's got 2 things going for it. Number one is they've got a really good roster with incredible defensive line depth. So they could give up a player on that D-line and still have an above-average D-line. They've got really good young players on that D-line and lots of them, first-round picks. Secondly, first-round picks are increasingly expendable. The Colts gave them up. The Rams give them up. Seattle gives them up. All made the playoffs. You know, my theory on the NFL draft is unless Andrew Luck, John Elway, or Trevor Lawrence are available, and I need a quarterback, I'm a big component of, I mean, unless you need a quarterback, I'm a big believer in trade down and trade out of the first round. That's a lot of money for a guy that you have no idea if he's going to make it, and 30% of the first round underachieves or is a bust. So just think about this. Ron Rivera's first year in Washington, his quarterbacks were an old Alex Smith, Dwayne Haskins, and Kyle Allen. This year, right now, he has Ryan Fitzpatrick, nice guy, and Taylor Heinicke. That's every coach's nightmare. If Ryan Fitzpatrick starts the opening game, it will be your 5th quarterback in 18 games. That is the definition of nightmare for a head coach in the NFL. This is not about can we afford to give up 3 picks to go 19-4. The question is, can you afford not to? Can you afford not to? I mean, let's be honest here. You start looking around, Andy Reid got fired because he couldn't get the quarterback right. Belichick's now irrelevant, can't get the quarterback right. Like, you got to make this move. First round picks, the GMs that I respect, Chris Ballard, Les Snead, John Schneider, these guys give up first round picks. You got to get the quarterback right. You get the quarterback right, everything sort of falls into place unless you're utterly incompetent. So I think they absolutely have to make a move. This would make sense. You got to give up three first-round picks. Again, you forget, the Dallas Cowboys have 10 picks. You draft Kyle Pitts, you got 9 other picks, or 8 if you have to give up another pick to get Kyle Pitts. A lot of picks here, 30% busts anyway. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
You know how I feel about hoarding up draft picks. I mean, that's what you want all the draft picks for, so you can make moves.
That's right. They're chess pieces.
Yes.
So you want to be able to make moves.
You don't literally have to draft a player with each of those draft picks. You can package them together, move up, maneuver around, and build your team. That's what you want draft capital for.
I mean, we've seen San Francisco be aggressive, Seattle be aggressive, Colts have been aggressive, Rams have been aggressive. What do they all have in common? They make the playoffs. The best GMs are making moves. Cincinnati never makes moves. How's Cincinnati?
Yes, not very conservative.
You have to manipulate the draft, not let it manipulate you.
Absolutely. So Dak Prescott is back on the field and throwing following his ankle injury. He suffered a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle on October 11th of 2020. We're showing some video of him throwing now. The latest reports are that he is expected to return to training camp, but the team's not going to rush him or put him in harm's way. Dak recently said that he'll be ready when it matters and will return as a better version of himself. He obviously signed his contract this offseason, 4 years, $160 million with the Cowboys. But it's good to see him back out there on the field. This is encouraging. Not that we didn't think that Dak was going to be back at 100%. He's young and everybody has injury.
You know, when I look at Dak, people make fun of me for this. Look at that body. That is what you call sturdy and trunky. That's what an NFL quarterback should look like. Big, thick. That's why I like Sam Darnold. Well, Sam Darnold doesn't win. The butt, the hips, the hand, the shoulders. Like Dak had a bizarre injury. My guess is he's not going to get injured again. Like,
no,
by
he's
the
not
way,
an injury-prone guy.
Michael Jordan got hurt. Tom Brady had a seat. Like, it happens.
The NFL has a 100% injury rate. 100%. Right. You are going, if you play the game, you're going to get injured. Like, that's how it goes. He's not an injury-prone player. He's always available. This is a freak injury, and he's saying he'll be ready for training camp, and they shouldn't rush him back. There's no need to. You want to make sure he's 100%, and he has several more months to recover. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields is set to have a second pro day on April 14th. Reportedly, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will be attending this time. They didn't go to his first pro day because they were at Mac Jones' second pro day workouts. At his first pro day, though, Fields put on a very impressive performance. He ran a 4.44 in the 40-yard dash, unofficial time. It does seem like everyone's running a 4.44.
I know, there's been a lot of fast four. I don't know why. What's the reason
for
that?
Well, I mean, they're not having a combine. So the combine is like a very precision, like, track. Like, they have, like, the laser. I'm not saying they don't, but they might still have, like, the laser timing system. But, like, when everyone is running at the same place, then there tends to be a little bit more variation in the times.
By the way, I love the way Justin Fields throws a football. I know there's a lot of questions about his accuracy. He's got a beautiful delivery. I don't know. I think we're nitpicking this kid to death.
He is. Every year in the draft, there's somebody that gets overanalyzed and picked apart, and Justin Fields was 100% that
guy. The other guy, Penei Sewell, the Oregon left tackle. Like, I've heard, and it's like, he literally takes defensive ends, lays on them, and they get up slowly. Like, Penei Sewell is going to start for a decade at left tackle. You can find bad tape on most college players. I mean, Kyle Pitts doesn't block. Like, some of the reports on Justin Fields and Penei Sewell, I'm like, folks, they're the second best player in the entire college football industry at their position.
Yes. But this is what happens because there's a time between the end of the college football season and then we dig in deeply on the NFL for the rest of the time. And then when the NFL season's over and we start getting into draft, there's just day after day after day of coverage and content and information. And there actually is no new information except for the pro days and the combine and some interviews to update their scouting. And so somebody ends up getting picked apart, and then other people fly up the draft boards. We see it every time. I don't understand how Zach Wilson jumped Justin Fields. I don't understand how that happens. But here we are. So, and now it's looking like there might be a little bit more smoke to the 49ers taking Mac Jones. Somebody's going to end up with Justin Fields.
I don't know. I just think he throws such a beautiful ball. I don't know.
I don't get it. So the Panthers have given Teddy Bridgewater permission to seek a trade following their acquisition of Sam Darnold. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport is saying that multiple teams have shown interest in trading for him. No team is likely to take on his contract, which is a $17 million base salary in 2021, and $10 million of that is guaranteed. But Bridgewater has said he would be willing to take a pay cut if it helps make a trade possible. They went 4-11 last year. It's not terribly surprising that they are moving off of Teddy Bridgewater. All of us like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's a very high-end backup, low-end starter, bridge quarterback at this point in his career. Nothing happened with Carolina last year that would warrant them not moving off of him.
Well, the coaching staff really wants to do more throwing the ball down the field. That's not Teddy's forte. It's not Alex Smith's forte. So Darnold's seen as more of he'll make the big throws. He'll take more risks. He's more athletic. They just kind of feel like Darnold fits this coaching staff better for what they want to do, which is be an over-the-top Robby Anderson. By the way, and I'll say this again, whenever I criticize a Baker Mayfield or a Jameis Winston or a Johnny Manziel for immaturity, I've always been proven right on that, right? Why does Teddy Bridgewater, a very limited quarterback, have multiple teams interested? Why does Tyrod Taylor always have limited quarterback? They're grown-ups. Alex Smith. Don't ever tell me maturity doesn't matter. The fact that Teddy's got multiple teams, why? Because he's a grown-up that you can bring into the organization, learns the playbook, everybody likes him. I never want to hear people push back on maturity doesn't matter. If you got a police video running from cops, I don't want you in my quarterback room. I don't. I'm not interested. If you're on tables at Florida State yelling something about, I'm not even going to go there. It's a turnoff to me.
No, there's an extreme value to being that guy in the locker room, and there's always going to be somebody who needs a high-end backup. Most teams now are realizing that there's very important, actually, to have a backup like Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 when Drew Brees went out. That served him tremendously, that he showed he could go in. Normally, you want a backup who can split games, right?
Win one, lose one, get
the starter back.
Just be competent.
Exactly. But Teddy is above that, and there's a big value to that. He's going to end up somewhere. Again, the contract's going to have to be reworked, but I'm really interested to see where he does end up, though, because if he can make it work, I think Seattle's very interesting.
Yeah, if Russell gets sassy, you're okay
for
a year.
Well, he has a right to be sassy.
I just like that word, frankly. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Chad Pennington, do you know he is the only player in league history to win multiple NFL Comeback Player of the Year awards? Now, you could say, why does he always have to come back? But he was in the NFL for 11 years. One of the smart guys, I get to talk to him about once a year, and Chad Pennington, the former NFL quarterback, Jets for years, Dolphins, joining us live. You know, we were just talking, Chad. Good to see you again. We were talking about maturity and how maturity matters, and I'm like, there's a reason Teddy Bridgewater always has multiple suitors. There's a reason Tyrod Taylor always has multiple suitors. We know they don't throw the ball down the field. And I want you to talk about that, because I asked Herm Edwards once about you, and he said, listen, the quarterback room is the most important room in my facility, and I need people that will lubricate it, not agitate it. And just your thoughts about when you look at these college quarterbacks and maturity, how did you view it?
Well, you're exactly right, Colin. I completely view it that way, because we are talking about professionalism. We are talking about there are two men within the organization that carry records. No one else does. That is the head coach and the quarterback. And so you have to have a quarterback that understands professionalism, that understands maturity, that understands how to work with other people. This is a people business we are in. and you must have a mature guy to be able to do that.
When you retired, you actually had the highest completion percentage in the history of the league. I think it's still like top five or six. Sam Darnold goes to the Panthers. There are concerns. Sam is athletic. He's a gamer. He is alpha. He's a guy's guy. His accuracy concerns people. Does it concern you, Chad?
It doesn't concern me as much because I think accuracy also lends itself to talking about decision making. And so when we're talking about decision making, sometimes your accuracy or your completion percentage can be affected by the types of decisions you're making. So that's where I think Sam can take a huge step in Carolina is, yes, we love those sexy plays, those over the top throws. But what are you doing when those plays aren't there? Are you throwing the ball away? Are you checking it down? Are you getting some extra yards with your feet to keep the chains and drives moving?
You know, it's interesting. You spent 3 years with the Dolphins. In fact, do you live in Miami now?
I do not. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky.
All right. That's a beautiful place, too. But Miami is very interesting. You know the culture there. Is that, you know, I said years ago, Eli Manning took years and years to figure it out. I get it. Peyton Manning, year four in Indianapolis, had like 30 picks. But you know, Chad, it all changed. You didn't grow up with all these 7-on-7 camps. You didn't have 10,000 throws by the time you were 11. So I am less patient, Chad. I'm going to give you about 16 starts. I'm not giving you 32. I'm not giving you 48. And I watched Tua, and he seems a little robotic. He seems a little rigid. He doesn't have a special arm. Off platform, off script. He doesn't feel special. In a division now with Josh Allen. Is my cynicism legitimate, or am I being too impatient?
Well, I do think you make a great point that our quarterbacks are coming into the league a little bit more prepared from a repetition standpoint. But remember, that repetition is not against guys who are 6 to 8 years older than them, who have a lot more knowledge as far as the game of football. And that's the big difference. Is a lot of times we talk about the speed of our game, but I really think it's the knowledge that goes with the speed of our game, because now the reason those windows are closing faster is not because of a 4-4 guy. We have 4-4 guys in college too. It's because that 4-4 guy has 8 more years of knowledge of football and he anticipates faster mentally. And so that's where you have to have some patience. Maybe not the 5-year patience anymore, but no doubt I still think that 3-year window is crucial. Because that first year, a guy's just learning how to be a professional. He's just been going to class, going to workouts, and playing ball. Now he has to learn how to deal with off-the-field activities, his own finances, writing his own checks, doing these other things. And, oh, yeah, by the way, learn an NFL playbook.
You know, you were the last quarterback to lead the Jets to an AFC East title and the last quarterback to lead the Dolphins to an AFC East title. And one of the things, Herm and I had talked about this, you didn't go to Ohio State or Alabama. So when you played college football, you often played with non-NFL players. Same with Matt Ryan. Same with Big Ben. Same with Phillip Rivers. Same with Dak Prescott. A lot of Alabama quarterbacks, USC quarterbacks, Ohio State quarterbacks, Matt Leinart didn't get hit much in college. You did. And I look at Mac Jones, and my concern is, Chad, he didn't trail in the second half of any games. He had perfect protection. If you look at the receivers Alabama's had the last 2 years, Chad, they're all top 10 picks. They're all wide open. When you came into the league, you had played in a muddy pocket. You were running for your life. The windows were small. I look at him and I think, now I think he's a better prospect than a Tim Tebow, but I watched Tim Tebow in college and I thought, there's a lot of wide open wide receivers in Florida with Urban Meyer. Should I be concerned that Mac's college experience won't even resemble his NFL experience?
It is a legitimate concern. I'll give you two things to think about, though. Number one, the people I've talked to talk about his work ethic and grinding and how he really works at the game. That is irreplaceable. And so when you have a player like that, sometimes you get a player that's so used to playing with that talent, when they play with lesser talent, they have no idea what to do because they haven't worked at their craft. I think Mac Jones will work at his craft, which is really important. The other thing that I think is interesting is that Mac Jones – was originally supposed to go to the University of Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. And he chose Alabama to be developed. He chose not to just be the guy from freshman year. He made the choice to go, I'm going to a place where I can be developed in an NFL type environment. To me, that says a lot about him and who he wants to be.
You know, we are changing the NFL now. It is a more mobile league. Quarterbacks, you know, and my theory on this, Chad, has been that once the CBA limited the number of practices, it hurt the offensive line more than any individual unit, because that's the unit that needs a bond and chemistry. The defensive line, if you got a Khalil Mack, a Chase Young, those guys are just outliers and they can get to the quarterback. But an offensive line is about practice, the technical, tactical portion of it. So O-lines are worse, meaning quarterbacks got to be able to move. When you look at some of these quarterbacks now that move out of the pocket, do you think we go back to the pocket, or do you think this is the future of quarterback, having a great athlete who can now be your quarterback, could be your first, second, or third best athlete?
Well, I still believe wholeheartedly that the quarterback position, there's no doubt that you have to have more movement. You have to have more movement because our athletes in general are better, regardless of the CBA. You have to have more movement, more athleticism because of our RPO schemes and some things that we are asking our quarterbacks to do. However, our quarterbacks cannot become running backs. They just cannot. They will not survive. These athletes, these defenders, these tacklers, they are way too good, and we will have a plethora of quarterbacks on the injured reserve list if we move to that. And you better have two and three quarterbacks on your roster. You will not survive a 17-game season with a quarterback who doesn't try to remain a passer. So it's one thing to be mobile and to get out of trouble and then to be able to make passes down the field. It's another to get out of trouble and think I can go run all the time. You cannot do that in this league. That is a big difference between college and the NFL.
So Kyle Pitts to me is Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Pitts are my two guys in the draft. I just think they can't miss. And the draft doesn't have many. Most guys, if you get a bad coach, a bad position coach, there's injuries, there's busts. Kyle Pitts reminds me a little bit of Patrick Willis from Ole Miss that went to 49ers. And I remember watching him in college, and I'm like, he's an NFL player in college. Like, he didn't even look like the other guys. Penei Sewell's got a little bit of that. Jamar Chase, a little bit of that. But I think Kyle Pitts just, he's an NFL tight end playing college right now. Go back to all your years with the Jets and the Dolphins. Were there ever draft picks that came into the facility, and you can name names or not, that you knew instantly, oh my, that guy's going to work? Or conversely, wow, he looks over his head. I mean, Pitts just physically looks different than other players.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one player that comes to mind was Jake Long when we drafted him in Miami. And we immediately inserted him into the left tackle position. Now, imagine that. Go right into the left tackle as a rookie. And it was just amazing, his production. I think of Nick Mangold, who was inserted immediately into the center position with the New York Jets. His mental capabilities and being able to work with me and figuring out protections and run calls, it was outstanding as a rookie. Those two guys really jump out on the page at me as two guys who came in as rookies and immediately made an impact with what they were able to do.
So, Chad, what do you do now? You're a smart guy. What are you doing in your life?
So, working with the NFL Legends community as a co-executive director of the community, where we're building out initiatives as our guys leave the league to make sure we're supporting them and their families in their transition away from the game. Coaching high school football, which I've really enjoyed coaching. I've got three boys. I've got two in high school right now. So, coaching high school football. And trying to raise a family.
By the way, what kind of offense you run?
We are certainly a single back, one back team with some wing T run principles, and certainly trying to push the ball down the field in the passing game.
I like to hear it. I like to hear it, baby. Get the ball down the field. Chad, a pleasure. Such a credit to the league. Thank you so much, Chad.
Absolutely. Thank you, Colin.
Yeah. Last Jets quarterback to win the AFC East. Last Dolphins quarterback to win the AFC East. Herm Edwards told me years ago, he said, Chad was the smartest guy. The minute he arrived in our locker room, it's like, wow, he really knew his stuff. Good for him. You knew he'd do well post-football. Coming up, I've got some thoughts on Deshaun Watson. Nike has suspended their relationship with the star quarterback for the Houston Texans. I've been very cautious on this story, but I've got some thoughts coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you back. You know, I've been doing this now a long time. Joy and I have been doing this a long time together. We've both worked separately for years and years, and you do get certain stories that are serious in nature, where you have a public figure, oftentimes a very noteworthy public figure, and the allegations are very serious. I think Joy and I are on the same page. The more serious the allegations to the bigger star, the less willing I am to take chances or have big, strong opinions without knowledge. My takeaway is we're talking about like ending careers here. Years ago, there was a story about Duke lacrosse and some allegations, and I remember being at the other company and watching major New York Times, Washington Post, major publications making, having opinions of great conviction very early. And I remember thinking, man, this is not a story I want to be first on. I'll be dead last and accurate. You're going to ruin kids' lives. And the Deshaun Watson story, similarly, you can ruin somebody's career. So I've been very cautious. It's not about being woke. It's about these are allegations that ruin somebody's life. But I think I need to talk about it today. Nike has suspended their relationship with Deshaun Watson. Nike does not want to do that. Deshaun Watson's good for Nike. Nike has been good for Deshaun Watson. They don't want to do that. Nike has their own investigators. They're uncomfortable. Beats by Dre. They love their relationship. They've ended it. The Houston Police Department now has a criminal investigation. Now, there's no crime discovered yet. But there's 22 different women. Are they all lying? In the last 48 hours, I've watched their testimony. I've watched their opinions. I've watched them be grilled. I don't know. They seem credible to me. It's not just the allegations. It's the number that is staggering. In all my years covering professional athletes, Joy's brother, Jason Taylor, is a great example. She'd have more insight than I would to this. Their bodies are their business. It's their temple. They let very few people touch them, train them. I mean, you tell me the quarterbacks with 12 throwing coaches and 7 nutritionists and 13 barbers. It does not exist. It does not exist. Yes, I had a professional athlete tell me in the last 48 hours, major red flag. Deshaun Watson had 30 massage therapists? That's absolutely unheard of among professional athletes. I don't know the entire story here, but with my politicians, with my public figures, and with my franchise quarterbacks, there's a higher standard here. And I'm going to believe the women. Because the women that have come out are already getting death threats. We know the game here. There are a lot of people out there who are going to attack the victims, right? We know that. That's happening now on Instagram. This is not acceptable behavior. If one woman is credible, he should not be the face of a franchise. One. I'm supposed to believe 22 are lying. I'm going to take the women's side here. We've come to a point now where I am uncomfortable with Deshaun Watson's decision-making, and I do not believe the volume now tells me, whereas we know our other quarterbacks' private lives, Giselle and Tom, Sierra Russ, Aaron Rodgers, date celebrities, we've never really known Deshaun Watson's private life. I'm afraid to say, I think there's potentially a very dark side here. And that's my thought on it.
Yeah, I don't have too much more to add. I think the number at this point speaks for itself. And every defender of him and every excuse has kind of been passed over now. There are people who are going public. There is now a criminal investigation. not all of the women who are suing him are with the same lawyer. So even if you think that the lawyer is up to something, you can't explain the woman who has her own lawyer who spoke to Sports Illustrated. She's not in that same case with Busby. So there's too much smoke for there not to be some fire at this point. Like, I'm a person who gets massages weekly, doctor recommended. I go to the same masseuse every week. To your point, you wouldn't go to a new barber every week. You wouldn't get a new throwing coach every week.
And you're a non-professional athlete.
Right. Right. It's not a thing. You don't have 30 plus massage therapists.
Tom Brady, Russell Wilson allow one, tops two people. Massage, pliability.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right. And at some point we have real victims here. I believe them. Hour two, next.